Biggie.
Rest in peace, Notorious B.I.G. Yo, let me tell y'all something. Nobody, and I mean nobody, and I promise you, will love Biggie more than Brooklyn loves Biggie. We love Biggie, man. Biggie was really our hero. Really, like, if we had, like, a Brooklyn logo, it would be of Biggie. Honestly, you know the one with him in the crown when he got the school face with the red background? That was actually his last photo shoot he took before he died, man. For every year, I get into that mood. Like, from March 8th, you know March 9th is coming, and you just like, damn. I remember exactly where I was when I heard Biggie got killed, man. Damn. Then the next thing, getting a phone call from your friends, then going outside, hearing the older cats talk about it, and you're just like, fuck. Damn, man. I know I briefly mentioned the Netflix special last week. I got a story to tell, but yeah, I think I'm going to watch it again, man. It was just interesting. I want to know respectfully. Yeah, everybody's saying respectfully now. I've been saying this for like almost 10 years now, and I got receipts. You know me, I stay with receipts. I've been saying this for years. You can ask anybody. Ask anybody. I've been saying this, but yeah, whatever. That was pointless. But Chico looks, I hope he's okay. He looks kind of sick or whatever. He looked like he aged fast, man. Damn. I don't know, man. But I really enjoyed it. I got a story to tell. I really enjoyed it. I'm going to watch it again. Man, Biggie was 24 years old, man. Damn. Rest in peace, Biggie Smalls. Rest in peace, Christopher Wallace, a.k.a. the Notorious B.I.G., Brooklyn's own. Welcome back to the New Hype Show. It's your boy Biz. I'm back. I'm black. It's beautiful. I'm beautiful. You're beautiful. My album is done. Whew. Ah, man. Feels good. Let me get right into it. Coming to America 2. What, Coming to America, the sequel. I enjoyed it. It was a lot of dissertations about this film. It was just a fucking film. I didn't go in with the fucking intentions of, oh, is this shit gonna be better than part one? I already know nothing is touching the first one. First one is top three funniest movies of all time, period. Period. I enjoyed the movie, what it was. Fuck the dissertations, either you like it or not. Everybody came with a fucking thesis statement. You know, I appreciate it for what it was. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, it was a classic. I wasn't expecting a classic. If it was, then hey. And that's a movie I would definitely watch two or three times. I'm going to keep it 100 with you. I enjoyed it. The actors and actresses looked great. Everybody aged gracefully. Arsenio Hall just turned 65. Sit with that for a couple seconds. Look at that man. Arsenio Hall just turned 65. And he looks wonderful. Look how great he looks. Some of you are 30 years younger and look older than him. That black really didn't crack. If you didn't see the movie, you might want to fast forward this whole part. But you know what? I did have issue with the movie because I did a Clubhouse about 2 months ago when I found out, you know, the premise of the movie. Because the same issue I had with the movie Creed. All right, first off, Why the fuck do you have to have a legitimate son, illegitimate son? You know what I mean? Like, why he just, why he had to smash Leslie Jones after the club, after being high. She had a seed for him. It looked like he ran off on his kid. I was like, oh boy. And I was mad at Stallone, who was actually one of my favorite actors, because of course, he wrote the Rocky series and he wrote some of Creed. I was mad at him because Apollo had to have a side baby. I was like, come on. Why are we killing our character's character? You get what I'm saying? Apollo Creed is one of the most legendary characters from any movie. Carl Weathers did an amazing job playing. I mean, for those that don't know, I'm a big Rocky fanatic. I watch every Rocky movie. I can recite 1 through 5. The ones after that, I can't recite, but I like them. But I can recite every Rocky movie. Like, really recite them shits. You'll be upset sitting with me. But I fucking love Rocky. I love the soundtracks, everything. I got fucking memorabilia, all that shit. So, Creed, his name was Adonis Johnson or some shit. And he was a, the side baby. Why he couldn't be Apollo's grandson? The one that just ran off and got bad, or like his nephew or something. He had to be the side baby. Why the black man gotta have a side baby? Why Apollo couldn't just die his legacy? He already got killed by fucking Drago in the ring. That shit made me tight. And then in the movie and Coming to America, fucking Eddie Murphy knocked what's her name down when he was high. She got pregnant. He moved back to Africa, came back 30 years later to Queens to see his son because his pops was dying. Was like, yo, listen, man, you need an heir to the throne. See now, Pete, and I hate to be if it was me. If it was me, I wrote Coming to America, and which I write screenplays. I actually wrote a hell of a screenplay for this project we got coming out. Shout out to MoPhi TV. Shout out to Marcus. I am on the board of that, but yeah, I remember in part one, his wife was like, rest in peace to Madge Sinclair, beautiful woman. Oh, she was gorgeous. Of course, she played the voice of Sarabi in Lion King. James Earl Jones as well played the voice of Mufasa. It's dope. I wish he was here. Yeah, so the mother in part one, she was like, aren't you the king? And she was like, oh, it's a stupid tradition. And you can, she basically told me, like, you can change the tradition. Why didn't Eddie Murphy continue that part? Change the tradition. Allow your daughter to rule. You know what I'm saying? Instead of you going all the way to fucking New York to find out you had a son, which for movie's sake, it was cool, but it had to be the illegitimate son Lisa ain't know about. I was like, oh, come on. And that was the same because Felicia Rashad played Apollo's, widow in Creed. But I think she knew about Adonis. Something like that. Anyway, she found out about him, whatever. But still, either way, why they always gotta have some side baby? And then in the movie, Sherry was like, yeah, all these kings have illegitimate kids on the side. I'm like, oh, come on. We couldn't just break that tradition for the sake of black culture. Why always gotta be us? Fine, he had all girls. I'm a girl dad. So I appreciated that. I said, oh, he got all girls. That's hard. And the way he was fighting with them, teaching them how to fight, because I do the same thing. And the eldest, she bust his ass. She was gorgeous, by the way. Her skin looks great. And shout out to Teyana Taylor. I love Teyana Taylor. She rarely does anything wrong to me that she did what she was supposed to do for that role. I loved it. I love Wesley Snipes' character. He kept the comic relief. I liked the movie for what it was. Again, I wasn't gonna pan it. And you know what? And I'll tell you this: if it was trash the way they said it was, I wouldn't have said it on the internet. I'm not doing that. Protect black film. I'm gonna make that a new thing. Movie was made well 30 years after, over 30 years. I think the original was made in 87. I'm not. Come on. Look how long between sequels. Has there ever been a sequel that took this long to come out? I want to let people know that screenwriting is easy but a tedious thing. Well, it's easy for those that are good at it. I'm good at it. I'm sure Eddie is great at it. He's written many classics, but for those that don't do screenwriting, it's hard, man. It's hard. Film is hard because you have to keep someone's attention for over an hour, depending, you know, whatever the film is, 2 hours, whatever it is. You have to keep their attention. Your writing is dependent on it. Like that movie, the movie was Zendaya and Malcolm and whatever. I thought the writing was exceptional in that movie, so it keeps your attention. And one thing I noticed in Coming to America, in the sequel, the highlights, like they purposely put the spotlight on people. If you look in the background, you see a lot of highlighting. I don't know if you pay attention. I pay attention to film. I pay attention to little shit that will go over everybody's head. But I noticed that in certain scenes, like the overexposure sun type shit. That shit was fire, if you ask me. I liked it. I enjoyed it, man. Eddie Murphy, he looked good. I just wish Charlie Murphy was alive because I know he would have had an input in the movie, man. I just know it. And what would have been dope? Well, to me, I had like a vision of Coming to America years ago. I wanted like, boom. His daughter would go off to study in, in the States. She was studying to be, I think, a doctor or whatever. And within her class, she meets this nerdy kid. And, you know, she's from Zamunda, of course. But I think if you remember in the sequel of Coming to America, Rotimi was trying to get with the daughter. So now the son was in America as well. But none of them know who each other, who they are or whatever. And well, I mean, they both know where they're from, but the other didn't know where the other was from. So anyways, he's the nerdy boy and he's trying to get not nerdy, but just, you know. Not cool. And he sees her. He's trying to get her attention. She's all top of her class. Beautiful. Walks well. Speaks well. Just gorgeous. And he's not, you know, he's not really too there. And he's trying to fit in and find his way. So anywho, you know, he's trying to get her attention. Whatever. So they learn about each other, whatever. But she ain't know he's from Africa. He ain't know she was from Africa. They, you know, they're both told not to really talk about where they was from because they didn't want to put too much spotlight on them. So anyways, I think they had a holiday, they call it. And they were both flying back home. But peep, they both saw each other at the private airport. Like, wait, what are you doing at the private airport? Wait, what are you doing at the private airport? When she saw the King Jaffe jet. No, when he saw the King Jaffe jet, he was like, wait, what? She went on her jet, and then Wesley Snipes, well, I'm using Wesley, but his son, he was the king of that kingdom, which they kind of had beef. That's why I was like, yo, when I saw that the movie, I was like, shit, we all must have had the same idea. So anyways, he went in the jet, and they were looking at each other like, whatever. So then when they went home, they found out that both their their kingdoms had beef with each other, whatever. So when they got back to school after the holiday, you know, they was keeping in contact with each other. They were texting each other and whatever. Get back to school, find out she's the prince. He's the prince. She's the princess of Zamunda. He's the prince of, we'll call it Wakanda, whatever. Even though that wasn't the name. But they started kicking it. Now they feeling each other now. But now the parents is kind of tight, like, yo, I don't want you talking to that boy. I don't want you talking to that girl from that other village. You leave her alone, da-da-da-da-da. That's how I thought the story should went. Then they fall in love, whatever, whatever. Then it was peace between the two kingdoms, whatever, whatever. End of story. End of fucking story. Even if that wasn't the case, let the daughter choose who she wants to fall in. Not, you know, fuck that arranged shit. It's a new day. I'm hearing rumblings of a part 3, Coming to America part 3. Well, I hope they do it soon. Shout out to Amazon Prime, man, for that. Yeah, so they sold Verses. Again, my people, sometimes I'm ashamed of y'all. It's like, y'all don't understand the way things work. This is the way it works. Well, at least in my head and the rest of the world. When you start up a business, you build the equity. You build it up. And if it is what it is, and it's worth value, you sell. You buy low and sell high, right? So Tim and Swiss created this thing called Verses, which I think doesn't get enough fucking credit for keeping our fucking asses entertained throughout this fucking pandemic. They need to be shown way more respect, honestly. D-Nice needs to be given a fucking Pulitzer Award for what he did. Yes, he does. And I'm being dead serious. We need to stop attacking our own. Tim and Swiss, they sold a stake of, I think, did they sell the whole company? Either way, they sold Versus to Triller. I think they sold shares of it to where, well, they sold the majority of it, but it's still going to be the same thing. Now, Triller has a hand in it, which makes sense because Triller is a music app. Makes perfect sense. They're going to keep it on the Instagram platform and the Apple and other platforms, wherever you find Versus. So Blacks were on there. Oh, my God, they sold it. Blah, 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 this and this. I was like, you people obviously don't understand fucking business. This is business. Now, this takes away the pressures of me handling all the day-to-day and all the shit. Like, this is what businesses do. This is what businesses do. If I created something that just went on to do amazing things and Instagram comes and say, hey, we want majority stake and we're going to give you $700 million. And let's say I only pay 10, that's a win for me. Case in point, Jay-Z. Jay-Z bought the champagne company for a couple million. Ended up selling his share for $250. Ugh, cash out. You done got your money back, then some, and now you're still on the board and you still get to run the fucking company. Jay-Z just sold another major share title to Square. Each of his friends that he gave stake in the company to get 8%. Which is about $8 million. I probably said that wrong, but I know each of them are getting $8 million. I know Nicki Minaj is on the board, J. Cole. I think Kanye West is still on it, Alicia Keys, Beyonce, Mary J. Blige, and a host of others. How many of your friends can you say would do that for you? Tidal was still black owned. This guy Jay-Z is out here really putting on for the culture with his hair. How many billionaires you know that look like that? I'm using my Funk Flex voice. How many billionaires you know look like that? But this is not about Jay-Z. This is about just, I just watch the internet, just these talking heads. The internet is so entertaining, man. It's just, you have this room full of people who don't know a thing. And because all of them are in agreement, so there's one thing that's totally off, everybody. It becomes truth. A lie unchecked becomes the truth. Just always remember that. Because everybody's in this pool saying, yeah, 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 it's true. Doesn't mean it's true. Just that there's a bunch of people that don't know what the fuck they're talking about. I see people diss coming to America. They're dissing the business dealings. It was Women's Day. They were, black women twerk. That's all they do. They don't do that. I said, Jesus Christ. So what if they fucking twerk? I enjoy that shit. You people complain about every goddamn thing. And I know this has been quiet for them stocks. I ain't seen nobody type about stocks in a while. What's going on? I know we've been in a slump. The stocks has been falling. But talk about the losses, too. Talk about it, too. Come on. Again, learn business. Learn business. That's what you do. I remember a guy offered to purchase Kicks Attic from me. And I had to really sit and think about it. And I asked him, you know, you want a majority stake or will I still be on board where, you know, you own it, but I can still run it because Kicks Attic was my baby. I declined. The money wasn't enough for me to say, I'm going to give you full ownership. And I had, he said another number, which I tried. He was like, nah. But that, you know, thanks, but no thanks. Okay, cool. No worries. I'll keep it. I built it from nothing to what it is. Cool. Maybe he could take it to places I couldn't take it, which is okay. That's the key to business. That's the key to business. He comes through, say, hey, listen, take this bag of money. But guess what? I'm going to own 70% of it. Is this worth the 70%? Let me look at that money. Nice. Okay, but guess what? I still want you on board. Or he says here's triple what I'm offering to buy it 100% from you. But now I can pay you as an employee. Let me think about this one. Will I ever make this amount of money? You know what? Let me decline, but I'll take the 70% that you wanted to buy for this amount where I can still own the other 30. To whereas you don't have to pay me as an employee. You get it? Or even if I want to sell a 10% stake in it to Nike, I can. Or let's open this thing up and let it become public. Like, I want y'all to sit down and understand business. Just because y'all see these codes, people talking about LLCs, don't know what the fuck they talking about. They don't know what they're talking about. You have to maintain these things. Get educated first. The education is actually free. Google, their sites, we have resources. Go to the library. Are people going to the library anymore? Speaking of that, I actually gotta go pick up these this book I've been looking for. Do people still go to the library? Put the phone down for a minute. It's cool. We had encyclopedias. We had to sit. Let's sit. Be still. Be calm. Yeah, man. Oh, my God. Shout out to Silk Sonic. Fucking Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak. Yo, this guy Bruno is really a fucking walking cheat code. How can somebody be that good? And I'm being dead serious. And I'm not saying it in a bad way, but this motherfucker here. And then you add Anderson .Paak. He was amazing on those drums and actually sat and... Yeah, the album's going to be hosted by Bootsy Collins. And he was the one who actually gave him that name, Silk Sonic, believe it or not. And what's crazy, that single they got, Leave the Door Open, fire. Anderson .Paak is amazing on those drums. And their voices kind of sound alike a little bit certain times, but... Yo, listen, man, I can't wait for the album. That's going to be the album. It's going to be the album. It's going to be the album. T-H-E-E-E-E, the album. Lord Jesus, man. Fucking Bruno Mars. This guy doesn't miss. And they did an interview on The Breakfast Club, which, you know, was amazing because you don't see Bruno do too many interviews. And it's always the guys like that, the unicorns. They don't do much interviews. The Weeknd, those guys, the Kendricks. I call them unicorns. You never see them. You only see them when it's music time, which I love because they keep the mystique of celebrity up there. I love that. I want my celebrities to be celebrities. I love that part. That's how I would be if I was that creative and, you know, that dope. But that's amazing. Those two, I can't wait to hear the record. And then I kind of find out a story that it was Bootsy Collins who gave Kenneth Babyface Edmonds his name, Babyface. Bootsy Collins named him, man. Bootsy Collins doesn't get enough credit. I'd rather be with you. Yeah. And he's hosting this new album. I can't wait. I'm already calling it. It's going to be a classic. It ain't dropped yet, but coming from those resumes, come on. Oh, major shout out to Cardi B. Bodak Yellow went diamond. First female rapper to ever do so. Put some fucking respect on Barty's name. Fuck is wrong with y'all? Diamond plaque. Fuck y'all talking about? Ever disrespect Barty? What's wrong with y'all? My girl went diamond. Shout out to Kodak Black, who is a noted writer on that record because, of course, Bodak Yellow was a remnant of No Flocking. From Kodak Black, who the record is named after, Bodak Yellow, Kodak Black, Bodak Kodak. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? So shout out to Kodak Black for that. I know he got paid from the label. They gave him a nice check for that. But Barty went diamond. The stripper from the Bronx that y'all like to diss. Shout out to, yo, man, listen, I love shit like that. Come on, Cardi, come through. Proud of you, Barty. Diamond plaque. Let's go. A diamond plaque. Let's go. Now, before I go, I'm going to leave y'all with this. Just some information I just found out, which I'm actually fucking appalled right now. I just learned that every year, police officers defame Fred Hampton's gravesite. They shoot it up every fucking year. I never knew about this. What in the fuck? That means
Fred Hampton's impact was way bigger than what we know of. Wow. I have a lot to say about it, but I'm thinking about the words that are about to come out of my mouth. It would be investigations. I'll shut the fuck up. But I've seen pictures of the gravesite and I'm appalled. I'm appalled. It's embarrassing. I'll leave it. I'll end the show here, but I want y'all to go do your research on that. It's just terrible. Peace.
Be sure to get at me on social media. Hit me on Instagram at It's The New Hype Show and Twitter, It's The New Hype. And you can find me on Facebook at The New Hype Show. Send comments, questions, or if you just want to say fuck you, or if you want to send me a donation, holla at me. It's The New Hype Show.